Now we come to a couple of verses which aren't easy, and I think one of the reasons they're not easy is because the New Revised Standard Version and other translations obscure them, candidly. Because the text reads, get the context, it's about giving, caring, really, for your neighbour. By this we'll know that we are from the truth, and we'll... Now the Greek, the normal meaning of patho in Greek is persuade. That's what it ordinarily means. In this context, to make sense of it, many authors, I might say, duck that and use the word reassure. And that's what they use there. I'm not going to use reassure. I'm going to use persuade, and I think you can make complete sense of it with the persuade. So, by this we will know that we're from the truth and will persuade our hearts in God's presence before God. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. What I suggest to you the text means is this, that quite the contrary of reassuring our hearts, I see your need, my heart, enlightened by grace, wants to help you. This is a very common experience. I want to help you, but my heart, which is the same as your mind in Greek, in this New Testament, heart and mind aren't separate things, that your inner being starts telling me it's not very practical, could cause you problems if you stop, you know. I'm not saying be imprudent. This is a big, massive problem in today's world. But if you kind of help this person, are they fair dinkum, are they really poor, tell his mates they'll all be at the presbytery door if we give to this bloke. So, you know, do you get what I mean? Your heart is actually saying to you, no, it's not, don't do it. No, it's not very sensible law for hundreds of reasons, and we're all constantly conflicted by that in this very complex world we're all in. And he's saying, I think, by this we'll know we are from the truth, and we will persuade our hearts whenever our hearts condemn us by telling us, don't do it. Don't go this far. Because God is greater than our hearts, and if God is inspiring you to do it, do it with the inspiration of God. And don't let your heart block the inspiration to love. I don't want to go into it now, it'd be too big, and I know you know that I've still got to use a lot of prudence and all that, but I think you can get, if I'm right, you can get the feeling of it, because surely you've had this experience as much as I have, how we can often not follow a generous impulse of grace because our mind and our heart come in and block us in the name of good reason or something. Because the text goes on, that why I'm suggesting that's the meaning of the text, is that it goes on, beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God. And we receive from him whatever we ask. I have to come back on that too. Because we obey his commands and we do what pleases him, God will always give us the grace we need to do the generous thing. We'll always have all the grace we need. Oh, I want to say this really carefully. I have all the grace I need from God to do what God wants me to do God's will. I haven't got all the grace to do all the things I'd like to do. I haven't got all the grace to do what you might expect me to do. I haven't got all the grace to do what I think those around me and my peers might want, you know what I mean? There's a whole lot of stuff we can get caught up in, but we've all got the grace to do God's will. So if it is God who is bigger than our hearts inspiring me to do it, I'll have the grace to do it. Do it, he says, and don't let your get caught up in the rationalizations and all the rest of the things that come from your heart. Receive from him whatever we ask. I'll read some texts about that later for you, so we'll leave for the moment. But that obviously implies that you're asking out of grace. Mostly in the New Testament, the expression is, remember Jesus, whatever you ask in my name. In my name means in communion with me. So it all gets back to prayer. It really all gets back to being in touch with God, doesn't it? So if our prayer is communion with God, and if out of that comes a request, then the request has come in response to grace. It'll certainly be what God wants for us, and the request will be answered. If our requests come out of left field, a desire that's got nothing to do with prayer and hasn't been discerned, well, of course, God is too sensible to answer such prayers. But he's presuming here, he's telling us, it's not God won't give it because we obey and because we do what pleases God. It's not a quid pro quo. It is if we obey his commandments and if we do what pleases God, we are able to receive the response that God is giving us. So we're able to welcome it. And God will be giving us all the grace we need. And this, in case we haven't heard it before, this is his commandment. That we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, which means believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and call on him, the name, and love one another just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know he abides in us, by the Spirit that he's given us. So as with all the Old Testament, we don't even start with Jesus, really, in the second generation of Christians. We don't start with God the Father. We start with the Spirit. In other words, we start from experience. And the Spirit in us attracts us to Jesus, and Jesus shows us to the Father. So that's the process. It's not Father, Son, Spirit. It's exactly the opposite direction. It's the Spirit. Some people have become Christians in their adult life because of the Spirit in the community that they've felt and experienced. Some of us have been converted because we've been loved by someone profoundly. And that experience attracts us then to look and listen, and we come to know Jesus more deeply, and he shows us the Father. That's the Spirit. Or as Paul says, God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Spirit that he has given us.